Hello and welcome back to the Game of Thrones After Show. Tonight we're going to be talking about the series overview. What makes you love Game of Thrones? Our top reasons for loving the show, our predictions of what the spinoff is going to be, and maybe what some things you would have changed about season 8. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey guys, always so happy to be here talking Game of Thrones. It has been 9 years that we have been talking about Game of Thrones, and I'm sad to say this is our last show.
Aww.
I'm your host, Satan, Elizabeth Snyder, and joining me, special guest that you've probably seen in the past, Mr. Dave Child.
Hi, I'm back from the dead. It's like I rode back and I've just been making armor in King's Landing this entire time. Hi, it's Dave Child. I'm Dave Child.
Okay, Gendry. And we've got Anna K. Thomas with
us. What's up, guys? Happy to be back for our last show. Can't believe it.
I know. And Battlemaster Professor Jeremy Dan.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Dan. And Kristen, if you ever want to talk Game of Thrones, you have my number. You can always call me.
Aww.
We can talk more.
Thanks,
we can just keep talking and talking and talking.
Ryan called me the other night and talked to me for 5 hours.
Right.
A lot of Game of Thrones talk and then nonsense about Peter Baelish.
Oh my gosh.
All right, guys. Tonight we're going to talk about the entire series. Overall thoughts is going to be our number one topic, and then we're going to get into maybe things that you would have changed. And then we're going to talk about, hey, if you rewatched it all, what did you notice with all the info you have now? And then we're going to get into series highlights, maybe some lines that we loved from the show, and then top three reasons we love Game of Thrones, and then our predictions for the spinoff.
Amazing.
Adorable.
So, Dave, why don't you start us off? Because you haven't been here too much this season. So what were your overall thoughts of the series of a whole and, like, season 8 as well?
Yeah. So, I mean, my overall thoughts of the season is this is the first show of its ilk. We're never going to have a show like this, not for a long time at least. And it's changed television. This is the first show that's, like, every single episode has been a fantasy feature film, essentially. And that's amazing, and I think that alone has made it, like, a great series. The last season's been tough for me. I've been someone who's like, okay, we're gonna see how they do this. Like, alright, they killed the Night King kind of early, but let's see what happens. And I was one of the people that it's the show, the first episode that it lost me on was when Daenerys turned evil, that first little switch. So this last season's been tough, but the last episode was good.
Yeah,
I enjoyed the last episode. I feel like they just rushed up to the point to get to the last episode, and all I wish was that they didn't try to make two epic movies in the middle of the season, and they spent that time, if not more episodes, just more time working on characters and working on character development, and not giving us, like, a giant, at least two action movies. Give us one action movie.
Yeah.
So that was my one complaint, but as a whole, I loved the show, and it was a good show still.
I agree. Best show ever.
Yeah.
Sets the bar for every other show that's to come, especially for HBO with the money that they have. What did you, Jeremy, Anna Kay, like, what is your overall thoughts on this show?
Okay, 47 Primetime Emmy Awards.
Wow!
I mean, if that doesn't speak for itself, I don't know what does.
AK, bring in the facts.
I mean, you know, I'm a pop culture junkie, so that's what I do. But yeah, as far as, like, a mythical fantasy, medieval realism, you know, this is on par with, you know, The Lord of the Rings, The Star Wars, The Narnias, and I just feel like for television, I totally agree with Dave. It's the first of its kind that we've seen to be developed to this extent. Obviously, they had great material they were working off of for the majority of the series.
Yeah.
But I just think that it was, you know, never have I cared so much about individual characters, so many at one time. For me, another HBO show that I love is The Wire, and it had a major, major character development. So at any point in The Wire, you were really caring about 30, 40 plus characters all at the same time. I've never experienced a show like that until Game of Thrones, and to this day, there are so many individual characters, both primary and secondary, that I have come to love, and I really do think that's a special thing that only Game of Thrones has been able to do in a very long time.
I agree.
I think this is a work of art that's going to stand the test of time, and it's a global work of art of importance. If we can pull up another work of art that's kind of famous, I relate this, and I've thought about this from the beginning of this show, as being kind of similar to the Sistine Chapel. Just the enormity and the scope of this work. You have respect for the individual creator, the visionary, and that's George R. R. Martin. And I know it sounds a little dramatic, but to say Michelangelo, but there were so many others that were part of crafting and putting parts of it together. Both took multiple years. In the Sistine Chapel, 4 years, in this case, 10 years and beyond, as the show. The most major work ever of its kind, is, as you guys were alluding to, there's been nothing else like it. The detail on both. Mm-hmm. You learn something new every time you look at the Sistine Chapel, which we see up there on the screen now. Mm-hmm. And you also have both a main storyline. In the case of the Sistine Chapel, it's the creation that runs down the middle, God creating Adam and Eve and the world. In Game of Thrones, you might have two storylines, the battle against the dead and the battle for the throne, the right. Game of Thrones. And finally, of all these smaller vignettes and storylines and other characters that you still love, and you might love some more than others. Mm-hmm. And in the case of the Sistine Chapel, I've studied it a lot, and you have certain pieces of that have this great composition and color, and others that you might not like quite as much. But again, the enormity of the work. The difference, though, Game of Thrones was a show and is sequential. So people have been let down by that final stanza. The ending just frankly pulls things together and is the most important part and sticks with people. And that's where The Wire was such an enormous show and delivered, I think, more on that ending stanza.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't finished watching The Wire. In fact, I've fallen asleep a few times, so Game of Thrones is still it for me.
I just binged it last summer.
Just kidding. But guys, we are short on time tonight, so let's get into our second topic, what you would have changed. Now, for me, I really wanted the Night King to get an origin story that we could see through Bran's night sight, his green sight. And then I really wanted Jaime to be the only one who could get close enough to Cersei to kill her. Like, I feel like a few people thought that he was going back to kill her.
We talked about this over. We were texting each other after that last thing. Because, like, I felt with Jaime especially, that was disappointing for me because he spent a long time. They developed his character into an arc. It was moving away to something. It was moving. He was becoming something bigger than what he was. And the fact that he went back at the very end to, I will never move past the person I am, which is someone who's blindly in love with Cersei and it doesn't really matter. Like, I was someone who, as soon as he left, Winterfell, I was like, no. I know it just seems like he's an F-boy here, but he's really saying this to Brienne just so he could go back and he can get close to Cersei and he needs to face his demon, and his demon is his love for Cersei, and that's what he needs to do. And then when he sees her and they just love each other, I'm just like, dude, no, this is, you're past this. You should still be in love with her, but you should realize why it's wrong and what she's done.
Like John did with Danny.
Yeah.
And I think that relationship.
I think in a way they were maybe doing this so it could be a foil to that.
Yeah.
So you can, it's the, my biggest things with this last episode of Game of Thrones, looking back on the whole thing, I could see how the index cards look great. When you put the index cards on a wall, and you're saying, this happens here, this happens here, this happens there. You could look at that from far away and be like, this looks great. Yeah. Daenerys turns evil. Jon has to kill Daenerys at the end. Everything goes back. Everything will work out. But you don't, you need to put the time to earn those moments. And that was my biggest thing. That's the biggest thing I would change, was put more time into earning these big plot points. And also to stay true to the character you now have and not have a dream scenario. Like, you now have a Jaime that wouldn't go back
and
fall in love with Cersei. You now have a Daenerys who wouldn't make that choice. Mm-hmm. But you could have a Daenerys that made that choice if you spent the time and actually worked with it.
Something the fans also mentioned is they would have liked to see that Dragonglass didn't kill the Night King, and they would have liked for him to come down to King's Landing, which I kind of would have liked as well. And then the fans wanted the Night King symbols to actually mean something.
Yes.
Like, we were all spending time. Yeah. Which when I
went... He loves swirlies.
During my rewatch, like, I thought it looks like the Weirwood tree where the Night King was turned into... Right. The Night King, basically.
The tree itself.
Yes, the tree. When they do, and like, it also the
branches. And also the... stones. The ceremony was a stone-like, and...
But they just never put any more into that.
It even had seven tendrils, like the Faith of the Seven and the Seven Kingdoms.
And then similar, we talked about similar to the Targaryen sigil, like in look. Yeah. So there's so much there.
I always think of it as like kind of a swirling loop or something, a vortex of something that could be kind of
makes sense. Like a cyclical thing about time.
Yeah, and also like a vortex, and also like a hurricane, like a climate change, like all this stuff is kind of a cyclone that's unstoppable. That's how I always kind of saw it. And to that point, another thing that always bothered me was what Bran actually does. As the three-eyed raven. Besides...
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people were confused about his powers.
In the Battle of the Long Night, it was like, where did he go? Was he in the dragon? Was he in the Night King?
Why
him being marked? Like, bring it together.
Why does the Night King want to kill him specifically? They came up with a thing that said, like, oh, he knows all of the history of Game of Thrones. He knows all the history of Westeros. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, he's a mystical Google. But they're not using that. He's not even he's not even writing a book about it. If they made it if they made it as simple as Bran is the only way spring can come back. The three-eyed raven brings the spring. And so you need to have a three-eyed raven in order to get out of winter.
Yeah, or if he would warg into Drogon. Also, I thought it would have been cool if Dany was pregnant to kind of make the stakes higher. Jaydan, what would have you changed before we get into our next topic?
So, a little bit what Dave was talking about, but more on the story they wanted to deliver. I did not have any, I didn't think about what ending would I have liked to have seen, but if they wanted to deliver on the story they told, I would have, as my fellow panelists know, delivered on the Howland Reed playing into this. And this we're not there yet with these graphics. So deliver on Howland Reed. He was mentioned several times. His kids were there and guided Bran through the north. We have the Tower of Joy scene. He could have actually been the one living person that testified to Jon's place. In the end, we don't even know how many people knew about Jon's place between the Varys note and the mystical Bran reveal.
Yeah.
I would have had the Bran-Tyrion discussion play out. We should have had some outtakes from the Bran and Tyrion discussion about what have you seen and what has your journey been. Because that is the discussion on which Tyrion based his whole thing about this is why this guy should be king. And it reminded me of the show Entourage, where near the end, Vince gets married.
I don't know. Don't spoil it.
Well, to a woman.
I mean, it's kind of.
It's been like 15 years.
It has a movie.
Have time.
Too late. Kristen, gotta follow through on it. To a woman that he had one day of conversation with, who hated him, and they cut away.
The worst. You spoiled a show for me.
No recording of their discussion.
He also spoiled the Sistine Chapel for you.
Yes, exactly.
We got to see it.
So, Mad Queen Dany, you could have had a couple of archers take a pot shot at her, and that drives her over the edge. You could have seen some of the wildfire accidentally go up, and she thinks it's another attack. Then instead of 99% of people think it was ridiculous,
I agree with that.
At least you'd have 80-20.
I would have finally had her destroy, and then bells happen. And then she already made the choice to start firing, and because the bells were going off, she had to make the choice of just keep with it. Anyways,
And so finally, an episode on that new politics. We have the meeting that takes 5 minutes of a bunch of giggly, mostly dudes, and it would have been great to have an episode of them kind of in the court negotiating with each other and making plans. It all happened in 5 minutes. That was a little ridiculous to pick your new king.
Awesome. I know you guys have all rewatched the shows. So what have you noticed now with all the info that you have? For me, I picked out this story that Uncle Benjen said to Bran that he was actually killed by the White Walkers and the Children of the Forest came and actually saved him. Mm-hmm. They put dragon glass in Uncle Benjen's heart to save him from becoming a White Walker. Right. Now, why did we never capitalize on showing that with one of our main characters? That would have been amazing if, like, Tormund got hurt and the Children of the Forest saved him at some point by, you know, putting Dragonglass in his heart. Like, I would have loved that to come to fruition, but it's like, why were we given this, like, awesome bit of information that they never capitalized on?
I was also actually thinking, because, okay, Dragonglass in a heart, but also some mystical stuff can cause this. I was waiting for Qyburn to create his own White Walker. I was creating
That would have been cool.
Waiting for something where, like, Frankenmountain was all of a sudden going to become a White Walker with a little bit help with Dragonglass or something.
That would have been cool.
But, you know, like they also had to wrap things up. So I guess
we're trying to keep things contained rather than expanding so many things. I love, there were so many Easter eggs, and I think that's, again, when we talk about the overall thoughts of the show, why it's so special and so important, is like you said about the Sistine Chapel, with every new take, you're going to see different things. Something that stuck out for me is way back, season 1, episode 8, The Pointy End, when Rob is leaving Bran and Rickon, and he's going to talk to Bran, he's saying his goodbyes. Little Rickon is hiding, and he's like, they've all gone away. And then Bran is like, no, you know, Rob's going to go free Ned, and he's going to free Catelyn, and everything's going to be fine. And Rickon very calmly is like, no, they won't. Like, that's not happening.
Yeah,
and
it just
it's just such a foreshadow to what's to come, not only with Rickon's own life, but obviously with the entire Stark clan and family. And I just thought it was so cool how they just sprinkle those things in, and you don't even realize it's happening on first watch.
I agree. There's so much that if you go back and watch, like, you're like, wow, he was right. And, like, Cersei said Dany would, you know, ruin all of the Seven Kingdoms, and she did. It's, like, things that you wouldn't pay attention to, you just, like, looked over.
Yeah.
These characters actually called.
And for my thing is the dagger that's going across the entire season, like, the entire series.
The sword in, like, the credits?
Or? No, the dagger itself that Arya used.
Oh, little
Because it's
dagger,
the beginning of things. It comes up later when even Sam is looking through books about, like, how do you kill White Walkers?
Yes.
One of them is an exact, is a drawing of the exact dagger, and it's kind of fated to end up killing the Night King in the end, and that's why I thought actually Arya being the one to kill the king was actually a good choice, and also Bran giving her the knife was also a good choice. So it's all that stuff actually worked out, and it's something throughout the entire series. That's what I really enjoyed.
I agree.
So my comments are based on what I didn't observe as I rewatched, because in the last few days,
I'm not surprised.
I watched the buildup of Dany and some key scenes to see what was really out there in terms of clues about Mad Queenness. And I watched her at the Gates of Karth. I watched her in the execution of the Tarleys, the burning of the Khals and in Vice Dothrak. And I didn't see it. I didn't see madness. I saw more control, yes. Imperiousness, yes, ruthlessness, but not madness. And at that moment on the wall when she starts breathing hard and her eyes change and she just knows she needs to become stone cold killer, I didn't see the things building up to that. Also in Bran, there have been some viral videos about how we should be reading the clues about Bran. Mm. I watched the scenes. I didn't see.
I don't see that.
I didn't see that. The clue I got, and it was already we had talked about in the show because we talked about in one of our shows the odds and that Bran was skyrocketing to the top, and I had already seen that in terms of winning the Game of Thrones, and in the midst of that. What was it, Varys that said, to a king, indifference is an asset. Mm-hmm. I think they were talking about Jon Snow at the time, but I said, there's the setup. There's that one line they're going to base the whole setup on of Bran becoming the king. And he was wanting, or he wanted nothing. And maybe that's why they say now he makes the best king. I don't think they set it up.
I just wish they gave us, like, more likable moments to get behind Bran.
They made him an asshole. Like, he, like,
like,
he even
emo
said,
asshole.
He even said to your favorite Reeds, like, he even said, like, I don't need you anymore. I just got into goth music. And it was kind of unfortunate. But they're also trying to say, the reason why I kind of thought it was going to be Bran at the end was because it's a book thing, but he's the very first perspective you see. You read is Bran.
Wow.
So, of course, I think in the books, the last perspective we're going to hear is going to be Bran. Because it's I think George R. R. Martin still likes that, like. And it's also, you do see his path. I think that's a book thing. I think that's going to be the same beat in the book. It's how the show earned that beat, like we were talking about before. But I'm not sure they quite did. And but, you know, it's... Yeah, I wish... I agree. I wish they made him more likable. I wish they made him less cold. I did see some theories that he's... Because he's so distant and because he's so not human, he's the only one that can be king. And if they're going to ever, like, settle into a democracy, which is probably the inevitable conclusion, they're going to need to have someone who's able to do that without any ego getting in the way.
Right.
And that's Bran right now.
That's a good point.
Or he could turn into an evil death spirit, which is a lot of theories are just these some children of the forest, like, implanted in his body. And just slowly he'll become this immortal...
Maybe that could be a spinoff.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
But let's get into our topic number four, series highlights, yes. Moments that defined Game of Thrones for you. Mm. For me, it was the dialogue between the characters, those lines that sort of woke you up to a different perspective. Mm-hmm. One of my favorites was from Jon Snow. He said, "People work together when it suits them. They're loyal when it suits them. They love each other when it suits them. And they kill each other when it suits them."
Right.
And then later on, Cersei says, "People murder their friends when it suits them."
Yeah. Hey, that might have been the wisest line Jon Snow said. The most political.
The most political.
Don't throw down my Johnny.
Jon is not a wise man.
Johnny. All right. Other highlights I just want to throw out there. Obviously, Ned's death. I feel like they broke the narrative, like our expectations of what narrative should be when that happened.
They broke the narrative wheel.
The purple wedding, like how satisfying Joffrey's death was. I feel like the revenge of the red wedding was almost more satisfying with Arya. And then Cersei's imprisonment, which was her own doing pretty much by empowering the High Sparrow.
I know Anna Kay has some serious stuff on the Red Wedding.
I know, it was definitely, I loved it. I think that the Red Wedding was such a phenomenal point in the show, not only because it changed the narrative expectations, but just because of how they set it up. I thought it showed real restraint from our writers. This also was an Emmy-nominated episode for the entire series, and I loved how it was... It gave you the mystery and the clues from hearing the Reigns of Castamere to seeing the chainmail on Bolton's arm. I was along for their journey. And I love that Martin, especially for a book reader, was inspired by real history. This was inspired by Scottish history. It was a 15th century event called the Black Dinner. And so this king invited all these chieftains to feast, and they served a black bullhead as the last course, which is an omen for death. Mm-hmm. And a single drum played while they were feasting on this black boar's head, and then they were executed. So I just really thought that it showed restraint from D&D. And then Martin also said this was the hardest thing for him to write. He wrote the entire rest of the book first and then went back to write that chapter. Wow. So for it to have that much importance to him as a writer and as a creator, and then for our showrunners to, for all the problems I think they had in the finale, for them to really treat this with the respect and care and restraint that it deserved, I just think it was so phenomenal.
Right.
I agree.
Boom!
Love it. Loves the red wedding. I love the purple wedding. Yeah. What about you? What wedding do you like?
Which one? What's your favorite wedding?
What speaks to you? What defined Game of Thrones for you, Professor?
A small moment, but I mentioned that the Ned and Jon moment parting at the King's Road. For some reason, my spidey sense went up just as a young man watching that episode, and I said, that might be the most important line in the show. You know, when I see you again, I'll tell you who your mother is. And I kind of watched it with that hypothesis, and it was an interesting way to try to pick up the clues around it. Mm-hmm. The Viper and the Mountain and the battle there. And the reason that means a lot to me is because it's before I was a commentator on the show and was watching it with a viewing party of like 30 friends. And seeing the reaction in the room like a mosh pit of people literally bumping into each other, running into walls, falling over, covering their eyes. It was so visceral. It brought it so real. I'd never seen anything, even like a winning touchdown in a Super Bowl, affect people that way. And finally, the Battle of the Bastards.
Yes, great, my second favorite.
As a a military strategy piece, which you guys know I find fun, but it was also kind of a smart versus dumb versus smart strategy. Jon Snow threw all of his strategy out the door. Ramsay had a very strategy, yes. great, a smart strategy, but Sansa owned them both, essentially, and that's when it really marked she had changed as a character for me.
Yeah.
So good.
Every time they went against expectations, and I think this was this is said in all of your points, is every time it goes away from how you think the narrative is going to play out. Why the Viper and Mountain fight was so good was because we were just starting to like the Viper. And he was like, oh, this guy, and now he could fight? This guy's awesome. Yeah. Oh, he's dead. His eyes are, the thumbs are through the eyes now. And the Red Wedding, it's like, look at all these characters in one place. They're not all going to die.
Totally
and then they all die.
And Roose Bolton is showing off his new armor.
Yeah,
I know.
His wedding armor.
I know.
Yeah. It's why, like, it also made it, it's why the last season seemed very different from the other seasons, too, because the difference is, like, you suddenly have this giant epic fight, and Brienne gets out fine, and everyone gets out fine. The people that die are like Jorah, that are kind of safe choices.
It's almost like they expected us to think everyone was going to die, so then they turned it around. It just didn't have the same restraint
and care.
And again, I say this as someone who loves the show, guys. Yeah. Like, so just don't hate me too much. But it didn't show the same care of the character arcs that we've been spending so much time building.
Right.
You know, it was flawed.
I agree. They could have had, like, this amazing, oh my god, oh no, Sam's dead. But, like, it's like, okay, now Sam makes it to the end.
You probably shouldn't have lived through that.
I'm glad everyone is alive and okay. But it's still kind of disappointed me because I'm so used to, as someone who is a writer, and someone who watches something and often goes like, oh, I bet this is going to happen. This show constantly surprised me.
Yes.
And this last season did not so surprise me. So I wanted to be a bit more surprised. Although, again, the show's still great. It's going to go down to history as one of the greatest shows. So everyone's fine. But it's just something I kind of wished continued into this one.
I mean, 1.5 million people signed a petition that they were not happy with it.
That's
silly. Here's the thing.
That's too extreme for me.
I don't think anyone thought it was going to be remade. I think they wanted to express to the writers and the people who made it that they didn't serve us what we wanted. They didn't respect the characters and stories that they had built over all this time, and we were dissatisfied, and I think that's okay. I don't think people signed that actually thinking it was going to be remade.
I've got good news for everyone who signed that petition. The books haven't come out yet. He's still writing the books. You're gonna get it all remade and probably told in a slower, more interesting way. True. That might get even a little boring sometimes.
Do we have to start at book one, though? Because for me, I'm like, God, that's a lot.
To just dive in?
Yeah, can I just dive in with the last two?
I suggest you read from starting from book one because it's a great read.
Mm-hmm.
Four is a slog. but all of them are good reads, and especially five is actually really, really good. You have to realize the book ends, Jon Snow is still dead. That's where the book ends.
Right now.
That's
where we left off.
Everything past Jon Snow dying and not even coming back yet is all the TV show with, I think, George R. R. Martin being like, probably this is going to happen.
You know someone as a business opportunity is going to come up with a book about the books that lets people know what falls in between the cracks so you can start reading the book. Someone's going to either come up with that documentary or that book.
A few more highlights I want to get into before we get into our top three reasons why we love Game of Thrones.
Yay!
Was Olenna confessing to Jaime that she had killed Joffrey.
Well,
that moment was a highlight
Tyrells
for me.
Are my favorite characters in the Marjorie and Lady Olenna are my top. So that was fantastic. I love that you picked that.
That moment, and then bringing back Jon, obviously, where we left off in the books. And then we haven't said anything about season 8. But Brienne being knighted was pretty amazing.
So good.
Right?
I cried.
So good.
He did cry.
Can I also say, as much as the show shows off the rainbow of toxic masculinity, Tormund Giantsbane is the best man that ever lived and will continue to be the best man. He is my favorite. He's someone
who... You guys look similar, actually.
I would love... to just be Tormund Giantsbane. He is my favorite by far, and he's someone who, he's the only one in the show that he's it falls in love with Brienne. He's going after Brienne. I was rooting for them. Obviously, they should have been together. But aww, you know what? When Brienne turns him down, you know what he does? He walks away. Good for you, Tormund. He listened and he walked away, and now he's having adventures with ghosts.
Well, see, he also cried.
Yeah, not before he went to the Hound and he cried about it. He did that first.
Which is what a man should do.
I agree with
get
that
your
part.
Giant's breast milk and just cry into it. What a great guy.
One more thing about season 8. Hero turns antagonist is amazing. And I love that thought. And I was so glad that Jon had to kill Dany in the end. And the fact that we saw someone who was building up to be a hero turn into the enemy. I love all of that. Just like Dave was saying earlier, though, the execution I didn't love. So looking forward to that in the books.
Yeah.
Now, guys, top three reasons you love Game of Thrones. Dave, you have three.
Tormund's Giantsbane.
That's three.
That's three. That's fine. The biggest reason why I love this show is it gave you, this was five shows in one, at least.
Yeah.
If you're not into the little finger kind of political aspect of everything that's going on, you can watch the Arya show. Or you can watch the Brienne show.
Yeah.
Or you can watch anything. There's so many different things. And that's also why the last season was going to be hard anyways. Mm-hmm. Because the show had to change. Because now they're all back together. So it's no longer five separate shows that you're tuning into. But that was my favorite part of the show. Is that it's, you have these separate groups that you can follow and you can get into. Another aspect is that this was a fantasy show that has become huge. And people started watching it because it slowly moved into fantasy. It was a political, mm-hmm, like, really into how people are dealing with their own family, their own cycle of abuse. And then it turns into, you know, then now they're fighting the dead and now there are dragons. And it slowly got you there, and I love that. And that's good fantasy, and that's good sci-fi, too, if it was a sci-fi version of this. But it's just, I'm so glad that this was a show that you could talk to anyone of all ilk. You can have like a biker just just
it brought
almost
us
punch
all
you
together.
If he almost punches you in the face, and then you're like, "But what do you think about Cersei?" Oh, you know, and then you can talk about Cersei, or you can talk to anyone from any different like shade, and they all loved one fantasy show. Which, as a nerd who just grew up living in fantasy, it was just nice to see the world see what I see in stories.
Yeah.
So.
I agree.
That was definitely one of mine, too. It was nice to get lost in the world and not have a time frame of reference. Like, it was sort of like medieval realism. We don't know exactly when it was, so I definitely love that. For me, we haven't talked about the cinematography of the show.
Yeah.
And just how beautiful it is.
Yeah.
And stunning, and the lengths that they went through. Obviously, in the documentary, we saw a lot about that. But just from the locations to Ireland, Iceland, Spain, the commitments of the stunt teams, the props, the special effects, $15 million per episode. It just, the scale of it was so tremendous, and visually, I feel like they took some shortcuts on the storytelling towards the end, but they never stopped the shortcuts with the visual storytelling. So I really appreciate that.
The black of that one episode,
oh
the
my
longest
God.
Night, was like just
the best
was,
black ever.
Yeah, it was just, I know a lot of people complain about it, but that's just because we all have shitty TVs. It was magical.
It was magical.
It was shot.
How much more blacker can you get? The answer is none.
It's so good.
It was magical. So and then my last thing real quick, Kristen, you'll agree with me, badass female characters.
Yes!
Arya, Sansa, woo! Cersei, even secondary tier characters like Missandei, mm-hmm, and even Melisandre. I mean, I know she's kind of like a villain, but these fierce women, Cersei, people that are complex, people that care about their legacy, their families, politics, Sansa stepping into Catelyn's role as Lady of Winterfell and living on that legacy. I just thought, and obviously Arya with just being Arya and the badass that she is, just fantastic. So I just really think as a show that had a lot of male-dominated areas, it was still a vessel for females to shine.
And accentuated by the fact it was not that at the beginning.
Oh,
and they,
right,
they set us up for some great character arcs for those characters.
Brienne, yeah, mm-hmm, all of it.
Jaden,
so
top
me,
three.
I'm getting called on. So one, I call the timing, the trends, and the technology. This is the show that was at this juncture of, it was still, it might be the last appointment viewing show in this era of binging. It might be the last appointment viewing of a show, a drama. Yet it also was very bingeable and people caught up. I had lots of friends that wanted to catch up by the end. It was water cooler conversation in the way that only kind of sports often is. So it had us there. Clips. People watch so many clips on YouTube. You see these clips with 20 million views. Amazing. And finally, the commentaries, the gossip, the fan theories, the fan fiction. Nothing, the social media.
Our job, our hobby here.
Yeah. Nothing else has combined it like this. And I think it's because of the time when it started. Social media kind of wasn't on mobile as big. It wasn't like today. More people were still watching appointment television. And it was just at that right time where technology was changing a bit, but still hadn't. Yeah. So it had all of them at the same time. We'll see if it happens again. The other thing, it was another reason I like it, it was like a mystery. It rewarded you for intelligence. It rewarded you for paying attention for the first six seasons. And they dropped some of that. But a lot of that was there along the way. And finally, similar to what you guys were saying, but it had something for everyone. Acting.
Dun, dun, da, da, dun,
oh,
dun,
dun. What is happening?
Da, da, da.
Guys, this
Thank
is crazy.
You.
I'll give it to the camera.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
For everyone who's listening on iTunes, Stephen just walked in with a giant chocolate cake. It is
watch
the
watch has ended.
Your watch has ended. Oh my gosh.
Great series, guys.
You.
Wow.
Steven.
Thank you, Stephen. You guys, Stephen in the booth.
Well, Steven, be honest. Show your face. Show your face.
That was so nice.
Stephen in the booth.
Stephen in the booth. He's a real man. He's a real man.
That's a man, man.
Expect enough for Ryan to get some tomorrow.
That is so nice that we're appreciated by our home here at AfterBuzz TV. I mean, it's been 9 years talking about the show. Like, literally, guys, I'm going to be depressed. Like, I don't know what I'm going to talk about.
Real quick, if you guys are watching, if this doesn't deserve a thumbs up, I don't know what does.
Yes.
So please subscribe. We love hearing you guys on YouTube, on iTunes, everywhere else that we are, Spotify, on all the platforms. So thank you guys for being so loyal and for sticking with us for all this time. It's been amazing. So just want to say thanks and give us those thumbs up. It's really great.
Absolutely. And if you do, we'll send you a piece of cake.
Yes. Yeah. Now I want to cut this with a big sword and see what flies out of it. I think that's the next move. All I have is a pen, though. I think I was making a point. He came in right before I was going to say the final things that people loved it for.
Mystery.
No. The final thing I was about to say was great costumes and sex. Okay.
Yeah.
So
you could, if nothing else, that was an element of the show.
And
for
certainly
people.
They tempered that down, except for the one bronze scene that seemed so out of place. Mm-hmm. It definitely got people interested in it.
They hooked us with sex.
Yeah.
And then we got to know them better.
Nothing has combined those elements in an interesting ingredient mix, much like a cake. No one has done it like Game of Thrones.
I agree. My top three. It's going to be a lot shorter than all of yours. World building, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
We haven't seen, an artist like George R. R. Martin for how long come into our lives and completely build this world. I mean, everyone knows Westeros, Essos, like this entire...
I'd argue Tolkien was the one to do it before.
Stan Lee.
But
Lucas, maybe... Rowling, J.K.
Them,
Rowling, but
I mean,
one hand.
This has been my favorite. Yeah, I don't feel I don't feel like it's been done to this extent with this many places, with this many characters, with this many languages. I mean, like, insane to me. And I will forever feel like King's Landing is a real place.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And
not anymore.
It's still there. It'll be rebuilt. And the dialogue. Obviously, we mentioned a few lines, but just the fact that, words can really change your perspective and storytelling can change your perspective, and the way that they told these stories and the lines that they delivered went deep through a lot of us. I mean, made us think different ways about life in general. I mean, George R. R. Martin was always talking about something other than the characters in this book. He was obviously commentating on, our world that we live in, and I loved that. And then the classic narrative rule-breaking that I touched on earlier of just breaking our expectations. And like you, Dave, always wanting the seasons to surprise you, and like being a writer as myself, I felt like I could predict a lot, but I loved when I couldn't, and I loved being wrong, because that's what you want. You don't want to like watch a trailer to a movie and then go in and it happens exactly like you think it's going to. You love being thrown off, and I feel like this show always did that, and it's the best part of being entertained is, to go in and be thrown on this ride and not know what to expect and really enjoy it at the end. So for me, I love the show. There's so many more than three, but that's my three. And then lastly, for our predictions for the spinoffs, I mean, I'm just going to throw mine out there real quick. I would like Arya, a show about Arya, her travels. Yes, the other two continents, exploring those with her, I think would be amazing. And then what if, like, Drogon was causing havoc and Jon came to join her and take care of Drogon? And I think that would be exciting. A good show. What about you, Dave? What do you want to see in a spinoff
or a prequel? I know these are prequels, so for one, I would love to see the Duncan Egg chronology, like, in this. They're short films, they're short stories that kind of all lead up to one story about just the fighting of Aegon, who's a Targaryen, and Dunk, who's like who's a knight, and they're just doing knight things.
This which is from really the nice. Books.
From the books.
Got it.
They're from separate short stories that he also wrote that are set in Westeros. But I would also love the Doom of Valyria. I would love to have it be about what happened to Valyria. We only have seen old Valyria. It's where all the stone men are hanging out. It's where Drogon was holding out. And we know that the Targaryens are from Valyria, but we know something terrible happened to them. So I could see a whole show being about basically the fall of Rome, the fall of Valyria. You'll still have dragons everywhere, and we'll see what happens to them. Like hundreds of years before Game of Thrones.
That would
be
really watch
that. I want to watch that show right now, Dave. That's really good. That's I almost want to just say that.
What do you want to see? I know you want to see romance. Come on, I know you love the romance.
Surprisingly, I want more Bran and Night King history. So I'd be down for some more Night King stuff.
I thought you meant like an adventure with just the two of them.
It's a
buddy movie.
Yeah, I'd be down for more history north of the Wall. Maybe more wildlings. More. About that. Maybe more people like Ygritte, some other fierce female wildling characters coming into play. That would be pretty satisfying for me.
I would love that.
They've talked about this, but I think they're making a big mistake by not doing an Arya spinoff, because she is on the perfect vehicle, literally the boat, heading out to new adventures, and it'd be easy to do. But I have a pet project. You guys know I'm a big fan of Andrew McClay, Appledorf, strong beard.
Background actor number one.
Yeah.
It's great. So just using him in a show, I think, would be amazing. And if we could just put image number five up, I don't think we have time to show the full image number five. Well, there's number one
his
of him.
Sigil
so
that you made.
There we go, the sigil for House Strongbeard. I think Sansa knows who her loyal warriors are in the North. Elevate them to take over.
Our blades are dull.
The Dreadfort. Our blades are dull. Nothing could penetrate those beards. They're the true defenders of the realm.
And with that amazing spinoff, unfortunately, we have to end the show. But guys, it's been so fun. It's been a privilege to be talking about this show with you for the past 9 years. You can follow me, Kristen Elizabeth Snyder, at Cinematic Escape. I only really post on Instagram right now. I feel like that's where everyone's going at this point. But Dave, where can we follow you?
You can follow me at mrdavechild or davechild.com and check out the couple of music videos I've been dancing in recently.
Yes.
One of them just got over like 20 million views.
That's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah. Congratulations.
You guys can find me at Anna K. Thomas on all platforms, but like Kristen, I love IG. And I just want to give a shout out to Ryan Malty, who couldn't be here, but he also has been such a loyal member of this panel. So he also just wants to say thank you guys so much for being with us.
You can follow him at Ryan Malady.
Mr. Energy Ryan Malady. I'm Jeremy Dan, and you can find me this coming Tuesday and beyond on the Chernobyl After Show. It's an amazing show.
Good.
And if you haven't canceled your HBO subscription, you should be watching this. It's 5 episodes. You can easily catch up. Make it happen.
I agree. Well, guys, that's it. 9 years comes to an end. We will miss you guys. Leave comments, follow us on all of the Grams social media out there, and we can continue the discussion about the best show that ever was, Valar Morghulis. Valar,
bye,
I can't.
Bye,
bye,
y'all. Our watch has ended.
Now cake.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.